You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that U.S. Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with U.S. Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
I'm your host, Haley Peffer, and my guest today is Dr. Laurie Lawrence from the University of Kentucky. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm happy to be here.
So our topic for today is one that I imagine many horse owners will be dealing with very soon, if they're not already, and that's feeding growing horses. So could you just start by telling us what makes the nutritional needs of these growing horses different from those of mature horses? And are there any specific nutrients that we should be paying attention to during growth?
Sure. Well, first, let me start by saying that not all growing horses are the same, and not all horse owners who own growing horses have the same goals. Some of them are interested in horses that they will be able to sell or take to a horse show as a weanling or a yearling, and other folks have a discipline where they perhaps have a longer view. And so I think everybody should always sort of take that into account when they start to think about feeding the growing horse that they have. Certainly, because our horses are athletes, we want to think about making certain that their skeletal system develops as normally as possible. So we expect them to go on and be performance horses into later years, and they're only growing once. So we need to make sure that in that growth period, we try to meet those nutrient needs. So things for the skeleton would be some of the major minerals like calcium and phosphorus, but also minor minerals like copper or zinc. So those are all really important. And of course, we still have to think about the rest of all of the nutrients that everybody needs. But probably, other than maybe a lactating mare, the young growing horse has very high demand for those minerals to support their skeleton.
And how can we tell if our horse is growing at an appropriate rate? Are there physical signs that could indicate they're growing too fast, too slow, or just right?
Yeah, that's the Goldilocks conundrum, isn't it? Again, it depends a little bit on what your goal is for your growing horse. So if you are thinking of a weanling that you're going to be showing in some way or perhaps taking to the sale, the way you would like that horse to look might be a little bit different than someone who isn't planning to do anything with their weanling until the time that they're a year or 2 years old or something like that. Body condition is certainly one of the first things that we would look at. And while most growing horses tend to have a little bit of rib showing in many cases, we want to focus on other parts. So some things to think about would be, what does the neck look like? Does the neck look like it's thin? And is it dipped down in front of the withers? Or does it look like it's thick? And so if we sort of think about that, if we look at over the top line of the horse, is the spine sticking up, or does the horse seem like they are pretty well covered over their spine? So I think those are things just on a daily basis, observing what the horse looks like. It's also a good idea to actually palpate along the top of the spine or over the ribs, especially if it's winter and they've got a big furry coat, because you might not actually be seeing what their true body condition is. So growing horses can be a little bit tricky, but that's certainly one of the things that we would want to look at. So we don't want them to be too plump or too thin. We want them to be just right. The other thing I would say is that we want to think about observing their conformation as they're growing to make sure that they're not growing at a rate where maybe their pasterns are starting to get a little bit upright. Usually that goes along with sort of a faster growth rate, or where perhaps we're starting to see that maybe they have some inflammation around the growth plates of their distal radius, so above the knee. Some of those things would be indicators that maybe they're growing a little too fast, or maybe they're putting on weight a little too fast.
Yeah, so speaking of young horse growth problems, developmental orthopedic disease is a major concern for pretty much anybody with young horses. How does nutrition influence this risk, and are there any feeding mistakes that would commonly contribute to these problems?
That's an excellent question, and let me first say that developmental orthopedic disease is sort of what we think of as a garbage can collection of different things. So there are different manifestations that might fit into that category. Some of them have to do with the limbs, but also some could relate to the spine or even to other flat bones in the body. So it's a big category. And as you might expect for many big categories, what causes one thing might be different than what causes another. But in general, what I think most people agree on now is that growth rate is important. And so we want to try to achieve a steady, moderate growth rate and try to avoid periods when growth slows down and speeds up, because those are then opportunities if there's a period of time when the horse isn't getting enough nutrients to, say, mineralize their bone, that could lead to some faulty bone formation, right? So we always want to make sure they're getting nutrient adequate diets, and then we want to monitor their growth rate. Some of the windows of opportunity to do that would be in foals. Typically the first month or two, their mom is basically controlling their growth. So we would want to make sure that the mare's got adequate milk. But usually after about 2.5 months of age, the milk that the mare can produce is not usually enough to meet all of the needs of the foal. So we need to then start thinking about what supplementary feeds the foal might have access to. And some people think about that just as concentrate, but we should also think about the forage component. So if the foal is out in a really nice pasture and they have good access to the pasture grass, or they have good access to high quality hay, that is going to be something that helps to fill in that gap between the milk and what the baby needs. If they are in a dry lot, then that can be more of a problem. So people just need to think about that interval, sort of 2.5 months to whenever they're weaned. And then weaning is often another time when we see a reduction in growth rate. So we try to think about ways that we can sort of transition that period, make weaning the least stressful, and make sure the foal continues to eat normally during that period of time. And then the third window of opportunity is typically in the winter-spring transition. Oftentimes, horses will slow down in the winter simply because they're using a lot of calories to stay warm, but also because pasture quality is often lower. And so we're feeding alternative feeds. And so sometimes they slow down in the winter. And then when the pasture comes on, starting about now and into May and June, the pasture becomes quite abundant. It has a lot of nutrients in it. And then that fuels rapid growth. So we need to be careful that we adjust the other feeds to try to even those periods out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Something you touched on earlier was nutrients. And protein is often discussed in diets for growing horses. I hear people often debate how much they might need. So could you tell us how much protein these young horses actually need? And can you explain, too, why the protein quality is just as important as the quantity?
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of misconceptions about protein. Some people are concerned that if they feed a certain level of protein, that it's going to fuel rapid growth. And it actually turns out that the component of the diet that's most likely to fuel rapid growth would be the calories. And protein itself is not that great a calorie source. protein is supposed to be used for making protein in the diet is primarily supposed to be used for making proteins in the body. So that would include both protein matrix that would go into the skeleton, the proteins that are in muscles, the proteins that are in organs. And each protein is very unique in terms of the building blocks that form it. And so that's coded. And so there are many different amino acids that are these building blocks. And if a particular amino acid is missing, then the protein that needed that amino acid is not going to be formed. So you might be feeding plenty of protein, but if you don't have the right amino acids, the horse isn't going to grow and develop muscle and other proteins in the body the way that you would expect. So that's one of the things that we refer to as protein quality, would be the balance and the assortment of amino acids that are present. The other thing that's important in terms of protein quality is the digestibility of the protein. In order for the amino acids to be absorbed as an amino acid into the horse's body, the protein has to be digested in the small intestine. So if it's a protein that has been damaged in some way, possibly, for instance, in hay that maybe got heated, and then some of the protein might be bound to fiber, that protein might bypass the small intestinal digestibility, and then the horse doesn't make use of those amino acids. So digestibility is also an indicator of quality.
You also briefly touched on calcium and phosphorus, and we know that the mineral balance there is really important, especially during growth. What do these horse owners need to know about maintaining the right ratios in their young horse's diet?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, too, that calcium phosphorus are very important. And one of the things about calcium and phosphorus would be that when we first think about forages, so whether that's our pasture plants or whether that's our hay plants, there's a lot of difference in calcium and phosphorus content among both different plant types and among plants that are grown in different locations. So, for example, alfalfa is quite high in calcium. Most legumes are. And depending upon where that alfalfa is grown, it could be either sort of moderate in terms of phosphorus, or it could actually be quite low. So for example, in central Kentucky, we have limestone-based soils. So we have a plentiful amount of both calcium and phosphorus in our soil. So the forages that are grown here are often higher in, say, phosphorus than hays that we would import from the western U.S. So there are places in the western U.S. where the soils are very low in terms of phosphorus. So while we think we're feeding the same thing from time to time, so we're feeding alfalfa today, keep in mind that it may not be exactly the same. Of course, it's always a good idea if you can to get some hay analyzed, so you have an idea about that. The other thing to realize is that when you're feeding plain cereal grains, like plain oats or plain corn or plain barley, those feedstuffs are extremely low in calcium and they are moderate in phosphorus. So they actually have what we think of as an inverted calcium phosphorus ratio. So if you want to, perhaps some people like to dilute their or mix their commercial feed with plain oats or plain corn, you're actually diluting out oftentimes the calcium that's been added to the commercial feed to fortify. So those are some things that people should think about. Having adequate calcium and phosphorus is essential for normal bone growth. So we always want to make sure we're there. And again, but keep in mind that where you are matters. And I think it's mostly probably important for people that move from one place in the country to another to understand what some of the idiosyncrasies of the local feeds might be.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned the hay analysis, because we've talked about this before in previous episodes, but it's so important for many different aspects of nutrition for all types of horses. And it's a good reminder to all of us to do those when we have new hay coming in.
Absolutely. And even though you may get hay from the same person and they say that it's from the same field, one of the big factors that can affect the composition of the hay is its stage of maturity at the time that it was cut. So if, for instance, the weather was rainy and they didn't get to cut the hay for a couple weeks after they might have originally intended it, it might be quite different in composition than what they might have cut in a previous cutting, right? So it's important to think about those things.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good to know too. So speaking of forage, many young horses are primarily raised on pasture or forage, living out with horses of their own age. Does forage alone meet their nutritional needs, or when should owners consider adding a ration balancer or concentrate to their diet?
In general, forage can be a good source of calories, and it can be, in many cases, a pretty good source of protein, particularly if it's vegetative pasture. If it's a late maturity grass hay, it's going to be low probably in both calories and protein for growing horses. So the easy answer is it's not easy. But all of the forages are likely to be lower in many of the important trace minerals than we would like. So for example, they will typically be low in copper and in zinc. In most parts of the United States, they'll be on the low side for selenium. So what that means is that depending upon the calories and the protein that's available in your forage, if the calories and protein in your forage are low, you probably want to feed a fortified concentrate to your growing horses to make up that difference. On the other hand, if you have youngsters and they're out in a very abundant pasture where there's lots of vegetative grass, they may not need the calories of the concentrate, but they're still going to need some fortification. And that's where we would use a balancer pellet. The alternative to try to get the trace minerals into the horse would be to provide some kind of a trace mineral block, either a salt block or there are more concentrated forms. The problem with those would be that you don't really know how much each horse is actually consuming. So as a group, they may be consuming what seems like a normal amount, but individually, you don't really know. So if you can individually feed in some way, shape, or form, either the concentrate or the balancer pellet, depending upon your situation, that way you know that the foals or the growing horses are getting the nutrients that they need.
And so when owners add these products, how can they decide which is the best option for their horse or group of young horses?
Well, first, I would say they need to first evaluate what their forage is. Okay, so if their forage, if they are purchasing forage and it's a some kind of a grass, orchard grass, timothy, something of that nature, and it's purchasing it as hay, chances are good that it will be on the low to marginal side in terms of calories and on the low to marginal side in terms of protein and protein quality. So if that's your forage source, then you're probably going to think about purchasing a concentrate to provide calories and then feed it at the rate that provides the growth rate that is appropriate for your growth goals. On the other hand, if you're feeding a very high quality, say alfalfa grass mix hay, that's very leafy and not very stemmy, it might be pretty high in calories and you might not need to buy a complete concentrate. You might just need the fortification that would come in the balancer pellet. And the best way to tell those two things is just to look at the horse, the growing horse, and say, yeah, I don't know. You look kind of plump to me. So probably either I need to reduce the concentrate or I need to go over to a balancer pellet. Or, you know, you're looking a little ribby to me. So maybe I need to switch from the balancer pellet over to concentrate to sort of round that out. But that's really it's the dividing line. The concentrate is when you need more calories and quality protein. And then the balancer can be when you've got plenty of calories from the forage, and you need to provide the additional fortification to make up for what's not in the forage.
So you also touched on body condition a little bit earlier and how it can be tricky to figure out what your growing horse's body condition score might be. Could you tell us how owners can evaluate their weanling, yearling, or two-year-old's weight and body condition, and how often would you recommend that they do that?
Let's go to how often first. As often as you can, especially in the winter when they're furry, it would be important to actually put your hands on them and see whether or not their ribs feel prominent, whether you can feel the bones in their spine, those sorts of things. So ideally, at least monthly, perhaps every 2 weeks would be good, especially if you are in a situation where you have like changing weather or changing housing conditions, changing feeding conditions, something like that. I don't think you can do it too often, right? You can only do it not often enough and then get behind. Either the horse gets ahead of where you want him to be or they get behind. So whatever. I think using the same condition scoring system that people use for adult horses is perfectly fine, keeping in mind that some of the locations where you would palpate the horse, they might not be exactly the same as an adult. So a lot of growing horses will tend to have less cover over their ribs, but you still want to palpate their ribs and anticipate that. Same thing along the top line or along their neck. So generally speaking, horses go through growth spurts, right? So they seem pretty round for a while, and then they kind of go through a little spurt, and then they seem a little ribbier, or vice versa. They seem ribby, and now they seem kind of plump. And you just need to monitor that and make sure that it's not going too far one way or the other.
So we're coming to the end of our time today, and I have one more question for you. Could you tell us how should feeding programs change as a horse transitions between the different young horse stages from weanling to yearling and then eventually into training? And what adjustments should we be expecting to make to their feeding program?
Sure. So the period when both skeletal growth and weight gain are the most rapid is generally before the horse reaches a year of age. And we also know that in general, many of the lesions that they might develop associated with osteochondrosis often occur in that first year of life. So they start to develop then. They might get worse or better after that time period. But that first year is extremely critical. So that would be, I guess, you know, when we have to be very aware of what we're feeding and how they're growing in that period of time. Then generally things sort of slow down in the yearling year. And while the horses are bigger, right, the actual average daily gain becomes a little bit less. So the rate of change is slower. With yearlings, I think it's because people are used to feeding them. They've been feeding perhaps the weanling into the winter and they were getting a fair amount of concentrate. And then as the horses enter their yearling year, people have to be cautious to realize that if there's good pasture and the horse's growth rates are slowing down, they may not need as much concentrate as they were getting in the winter of their early yearling or weanling year. It might actually go back a little bit. And then once they go into training, well, now if you're adding exercise, now that may mean that you're going to have to up their energy intake a little bit to be able to meet the requirements for the exercise that they're starting to get.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for joining me.
You bet. Have a great day.
Thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.